Please note that in this recording, some of the questions may be inaudible, but the master's answers are audible and clear.
Yes. Pardon? Sister, we have to occupy two faculties. Faculty to see and faculty to visualize and faculty to think, because our whole consciousness supplanted to this creation by these two faculties. Faculty to think and faculty to visualize, because mind is never still. It's always thinking something about another. So our mind is just separated into this whole creation, just by thinking. And about whomsoever we are thinking, we also visualize their faces. So with this, we slowly and slowly get attached to those faces, attached to those objects. And the attachment of those objects pull us down to their own level. So we are here, from one body to another body, from one flesh to another flesh. So mystics tell us, since the mind already is in the habit of visualizing and thinking, so occupy this faculty with the thinking of the Father and visualizing on something which is not perishable. So we think about the name of the Lord by that is known Simran. With the help of Simran, we try to withdraw our consciousness to the eye center. With the help of Dhyan, we try to hold our attention at the eye center. Dhyan is not must, but it is very helpful in our meditation. And if we have seen the Master, then only we can visualize the form of the Master. We can do Dhyan on the form of the Master. If we have not seen the Master, then we should just keep our attention in the darkness here and repeat those holy words. Do our Simran. Even that will help you to be here at the eye center. And when you see the light or the flashes of light, then there is something to hold your attention. That light will hold your attention. Then you are visualizing that light and doing Simran. And you will be able to hold your attention there at the eye center. We visualize on the form of the Master, because the real form of the Master is Shabad. And we want to attach ourselves to the Shabad, our Holy Spirit within. So Masters are just waves in the ocean. Waves in the ocean of the divine melody or Naam or Shabad, whatever you may call it. So if anything you throw to a wave, it will automatically go to the bottom of the sea. So if we visualize on the fair face of the Master, that helps us to concentrate here and hold our attention here at the eye center. And that increases our intensity to become one with the Shabad and Naam within. So that is why we also practice Dhyan along with Simran. Dhyan is not independent of Simran. Dhyan is a part of Simran, so to say. We have to synchronize Dhyan with our Simran.
And we have to do a Dhyan every day when we make our Simran and Dhyan.
Whenever we sit in Simran, we should also do Dhyan at the same time. We must synchronize both together. Yes?
One last question. Please could you speak for a few minutes of the journey of the soul on its inward journey?
I have noted down your presence, Mr. Molly. Not really. You see, we have to withdraw from the consciousness from our feet to the right bottom and top of our head. Our journey consists of two stages. The first stage is to the eye center, and the second stage is upward. With the help of Simran and Dhyan, we have to withdraw our consciousness back to the eye center. And once we are here, this is the door which we have to knock. Whenever we go to our house, unless the door is open, we can never get entrance into a house. So our house where our Lord resides, that door is here at the eye center. And we have to knock it here, means with the help of Simran and Dhyan, we have to open our third eye, open our this faculty to see within. And seeing within means to be in touch with that sound there, to be in touch with that light there. And then once we are here, we will hear that sound, which will become distinct and clearer and clearer. And we will start seeing that light which will become brighter and brighter with the help of our concentration at the eye center. With the help of sound, we know the direction of our house. With the help of night, we travel on that path, and stage by stage we go back to our own destination. So this whole process, you can call it Shabad, you can call it Naam, you can call it light and sound, you can give it any name, it's the material at all. So this is the only process by which we can travel through the stages and go beyond the realm of mind and Maya. Because our soul and mind are knotted together. Unless the soul gets released from the mind, it doesn't become pure, it doesn't become whole. And unless it becomes whole, unless it becomes pure, it doesn't become worthy to become one with the Father. Only the pure one becomes worthy to become one with the Father. And souls become absolutely pure when it gets released from the clutches of the mind. And mind is fond of senses. So he, at this stage, mind is slave of the senses. So when the mind gets a better and more absorbing nectar within, so that better taste, mind automatically leaves the senses and see taste that nectar. So the more we taste that nectar within, the more we are detached from the creation or detached from the senses. So with the help of sound and light, mind comes back to its own source, that is Tirkuti, second stage. The moment mind goes there, the soul gets released from the clutches of the mind. All those karmas, our kiriman karma, sanchit karma, store of karma, you see, they become ineffective. Then they cannot pull our soul back to the level of the creation. Because now the soul holds the mind and mind holds the senses. At this time, the whole process is reversed. These senses are holding our mind and mind is holding the soul. So we have to reverse the whole process by meditation. So when soul becomes the whole, as Christ said, go sin no more, you have become whole. You have become whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing can come unto thee. So when he put that lady on the path, he says, if you go on practicing this meditation, you will become whole. Provided you don't add more to your sins. Whatever the sins are there, you'll be able to clear them. And provided you don't add more to your sins, then automatically you become whole. So when we become whole, automatically we become merged back into the whole being. This is the whole process. Yes? Pardon? Well, sister, we start with grace. And effort also comes by His grace. Because without His grace, we would not have taken even a human birth. Without His grace, we have never felt the necessity to become one with the Father. The pull to go back to the Father would not have been there but for His grace. That hunger would not have been there. The thirst would not have been there to be with the Father. That's all His grace. And when His grace is there, then, because the hunger has come, the thirst has come, now the effort also comes. If you are thirsty, you will run about to find the water. If you are hungry, you will do anything to search for the food. So without that hunger and thirst, you will never bother about the water, you will never bother about the food. So this, you see, searching, habit of searching food and looking for water has come from that hunger and thirst. It doesn't come otherwise at all. So when, due to His grace, we get that hunger, we get that thirst, and now we are putting effort to drink that water, to have that food. I often give an example that if you are hungry and there's nothing in the plate to eat, then also you won't eat anything at all, no matter how much you hungry are, because the food is not there. And if the food is very delicious and lying in the plate and you have no hunger at all, you will not look at the food at all. So if the hunger is there and the food is there and it is delicious, your hands automatically move to your mouth. So what has given effect to this effort to eat, the hunger, the thirst and the delicious food, both? And who has given this food and hunger? The Lord. He gives his own hunger. He gives the food. And then our hands automatically put an effort. He gives us those environment, those facilities, those opportunities to attend to our meditation. And the more the hunger and the thirst grows, the more and more we become thirsty and hungry. And more we are putting an effort to eat and to drink. So without grace, nothing can happen. Effort also comes with its grace. Effort is just a byproduct of the grace. Grace cannot be without effort, and effort will not be there without grace. Yes? Well, sister, the seed doesn't go waste at all. That internal progress, which is always to one's credit, doesn't leave us at the time of death. It always helps us. And then it will be just the grace of the Father.
When do you surrender? Do you have to reach the third eye before you can surrender?
Well, sister, real surrender only comes when you go beyond the realm of mind and maya, when you go beyond Tirkuti. Because you can only surrender something which belongs to you. If anything doesn't belong to you, how can you surrender it? What have we to surrender? Our mind, ourself to the Master. But mind stands in the way. Unless we remove this blockade, we are not in a position to surrender to the Master at all. So first we have to surrender the mind. Then we have to surrender ourselves. So meditation is the only process by which we can really surrender. Before that, it is only our effort to surrender, is intellectual surrender, trying to follow the direction of the Master, trying to follow the way of life, the way of Santmat, attending to our meditation and keeping firm on the principles of Santmat. This is also a surrender to a great extent in order to achieve some results in our meditation. But the real surrender only comes when we are able to subdue our mind, purify our mind, are able to remove the obstacle of our mind, are able to get the soul released from the crutches of the mind. Then mind belongs to you. Then you are in a position to surrender your mind to the Master. And then ultimately you yourself surrender to the Master. You merge in Him, you become in Him. As Christ said, you have become me and I have become you. That is real surrender. He says, I have taken abode in you, and you have taken abode in me. We have become one. That is surrender. So that is why we call love is God and God is love. Because love has the quality to surrender. We surrender ourselves to the Father. We lose our own identity. We merge into the being. We become another being. That is real surrender. When we don't exist, only the Beloved exists. We are no more, only He is there. That is real surrender. Before that, we are attempting to surrender, attempting to achieve, to realize, you see, that stage, that level of consciousness where we can surrender. Yes?
My father has a question. And he wants to know if the satsang has to be given only by him who is in charge of the satsang, or is possible that other satsangis can give a satsang in our country?
I'm not following your question.
He wants to know if my father, who is in charge of the satsang, who is the representative, has to be given the satsang, or is possible that other satsangis can give that?
You see, the satsangs, we have to know the head of the organization, whosoever the representative there, whosoever is managing the satsang affair there, he should authorize him to hold satsang. And he is generally guided with the wishes of the sangha as a whole.
He has to give the satsang.
Pardon?
Is he the only one who has to give the satsang? or it's possible that other people who is a satsangi can give a satsang?
No, anybody can hold a satsang. Anybody can give a satsang. There are no restrictions at all, provided people want it and is accepted by the management. We have no objection. Yes? Yes, you can speak now.
I'm sorry. Could you please discuss how to cope with the busy pace of life in this modern world? Sometimes one is so busy that it's hard to fulfill all the responsibilities of a given day.
Well, sisters, who has made this world modern? Who has made us so busy? Our demands, our needs, fulfillment of our wishes, pursuit of our achievements, and then our responsibilities. We have brought on our own shoulders. So we have to adjust to the way of life. We have to attend to our meditation also, and also discharge our responsibilities, our obligation to the society, to the family, to the people concerned. But now it is for the person, you see, to adjust his life accordingly. How can anybody set your whole day's program? And even if anybody sets, you won't bother to follow it. Well, you know your needs, you know your demands, you know your obligations and your commitments in life. So everybody has to adjust one's own self, formulate one's whole daily routine. The one has to carry both. Yes? What do you mean by attracted by the physical Dhani Master?
Seeing you, then seeing you physically, then in fact almost seeing you inside.
Well, if this can lead you to be inside with the Master, then there is no harm. If you are just running about because other people are also running about, you also want to be one of them, then it's no use at all. You see, seeing itself doesn't give you anything at all. Seeing is just a helplessness of a lover to look at the beloved. They can't help it because the pull is so much, the love is so much. But then that love also pulls us towards meditation, pull us towards within, where we can always be with our Master, where there is no separation at all. That is why Christ said, it is expedient for you that I leave now. Because I have shown you the way, I have shown you the path, and I have told you where I am, and you know how to reach me. That is the purpose of seeing. That is the purpose of this love. Yes? Well, actually a lover should have no jealousy. Love means giving, not taking. Love means surrender, not possession. In surrender there is no jealousy. In giving there is no jealousy. It is only in possessing there is jealousy. In asking there is a jealousy. In giving there is no jealousy. And especially there should be no jealousy between the lovers of the Lord. Rather, it should make us happy to see anybody in love with the Father, in love with the Lord. We are always happy to meet a lover of the Lord. We are never jealous of that, because we all want to give to the Father. We all want to be possessed by the Father. We don't want to possess Him. We don't want Him to give us something. We want ourselves to, you see, give ourselves to Him. So there's no jealousy at all. If that attitude is adopted in our life, then there's no jealousy at all. Yes? You see, this is just a comparative word. Mind, when it's being pulled by the senses, you can call it a lower mind. The same mind, when it's attached to the Shabda Naam within, and its tendency is upward and inward, you can call it is becoming a higher mind, a better mind. As long as it is being pulled by the senses, it is your enemy. When you are able to pull it from the senses and attach to the Shabad and Naam, and now its tendency is becoming upwards towards the Father, you can call it your mind has become friend. Your mind is your best friend then. Because all these emotions and devotions first come in the mind. Soul is already in love with the Father. Soul is a divine drop of that ocean. In everybody, that is where Christ said, O ye gods, potentially every soul is a god. Potentially everyone is a god. Because our soul is the drop of that divine ocean. And natural instinct to become one with the Father is there within every one of us. More or less, we all want to seek the Father. We all want to go to our source. But we are helpless due to the weight of the mind. Needle is always being attracted towards the magnet. But if there is a weight over the needle, it becomes helpless. Not that needle has lost that pull of the magnet. It is there. The needle is helpless, but it is just helpless due to the weight. Otherwise, the pull is there. So similarly, every soul is full with love and devotion for the Father. Left to soul, it will go in no time back to the Father. But it is the mind which is keeping the soul here tied down to this creation. So weight of the mind is there on the soul. So we have to fill our mind with love and devotion for the Father. Before we can get our soul released from the crutches of the mind. So all these emotions, devotions come in our mind. Mind also is also miserable, being separated from its own source. Mind is not happy being in the senses. Mind is also miserable. So when mind is attached to the Shabad and Naam within, it also gets that peace and bliss and happiness. And it also is filled with love and devotion to go back to its own source. So when the mind goes to its own source, soul automatically becomes released from the mind. Then it's just like a magnet, a needle going to the magnet, it goes back to the Father. So every soul, that's why Christ said, O ye gods, everybody is God. Potentially every soul is God. Because it has the potency to become God. Yes?
Maharaj, hello. Could you explain to us how to be discriminating adults and at the same time to be as simple as little children, please?
Discriminating?
To be as discriminating adults and at the same time to be as simple as little children.
You see, actually, we want to become adult, but we are not able to become adult. We have grown up, but we are not matured. And even if we become matured and become adult again, Christ said, you must become like a babe, must become a child, means innocent. You must become as innocent as child. Child is happy in every stage. You give him a pebble to play, he will play with his stone. Peace. You give him a diamond, he will go happy to play with the diamond. He is happy in every way. So unless we become like the babe, like the child, we are so innocent, so detached from the creation, we cannot go back to the Father. So even if we have become adult, or so-called matured, we have to ultimately become babies.
I've heard it said that the Lord is a jealous lover. Is this true?
You see, Lord is a jealous lover is used in a sense that your love is one pointed to the Father. You cannot love the Lord also His creation. And also the object and faces of the creation. If you are in love with the Father, you cannot be in love with His creation. If you are also attached to the Father, also attached to this creation, then you are nowhere. But the word used in the sense that when your attachment is 100% with the Father, then only you go back to the Father. If your little attachment is to the creation, that very little attachment will pull you back to the level, pull you back to the level of the creation. Because it is the attachment which brings us back to the creation. So you can call it a jealous lover, you see, because you have to be fully attached to the Father. There is no other attachment of the creation in you. Then only you go back to the Father. These are all the just a way of expressing love and devotion for the Father.
How can we get more faith? Faith leads to practice and practice leads to love. How can we get more faith?
Well, sister, actually everything comes by His grace. With His grace, we put an effort. With our effort, we develop that faith. We develop that conviction. And that conviction gives us more effort, more grace, more faith, more love. The more we give, the more it grows. They cannot be separated from one another. They are all one and the same thing. Yes. Pardon? Well, you may be kept at the astral region for some time to get rid of this attachment and then taken upwards.
Master, after we've seen you give an initiation, is it okay when we're doing our Simran as if we're hearing the Master's voice repeating the names?
Can you repeat again?
When we've seen you give an initiation, is it okay when we're doing our Simran if that's as if it is as if we hear the Master's voice repeating the names?
You can do anything. It's immaterial. It's immaterial. Yes? If you...
Master, how can we get back into His grace?
Well, Master is never displeased, first thing. He knows all of us where we stand. One who already knows where we stand, how can He be displeased? Master is never displeased. We can please Him more and more by attending to our meditation, by living the way of Sankhya life. But even then, otherwise, He is never displeased with anybody. Yes?
Maharaji, you often say Shabad and Naam. Do you have a distinction?
There's no difference, you see, Shabad and Naam. It's same, one and the same thing. They're just synonymous words. Yes?
I'm the problem. But I have a second problem that has come up yesterday. And I'm grateful for Christ.
Well, brother, your question was very meaningful. I was never displeased at all. I don't know why do you think that I was displeased with your question. You see, you said, I want to become nothing. I said, if you become nothing, you become everything. And I meant it, and I mean it. So it is hard to become nothing. That is our only problem, that we all think that we are something. Knowing everything, doing everything, we want to become nothing. So don't worry, don't analyze these things too much at all. You can ask any number of questions. Yes. Either I am coming hard of hearing or you can't reach me, but there is something in our way.
If you're in an area where there's a small number of satsangis who express no interest in participating in satsang, how can we best stir their interest?
Well, sister, we shouldn't worry at all if anybody is interested in the satsang or not. Interest must come from him, from within him. You can help him. You can't just force him to take any interest in satsang at all. If you think that he's interested, you can help them. Then leave them to their own fate. Leave them to their own destiny. Let them play their own part in their life. And you should just be helpful. And don't also look with the... You see, we scorn that they don't attend the satsang, or they are satsangi, and they don't come at all, or have gone away from the path. We shouldn't have that attitude at all. Our attitude should be of love and help. Because we don't know anybody's circumstances. anybody's environment, anybody's problem, what he's going through. So we should have an attitude of help and love and understanding rather than of indifference or a negative attitude towards them. We shouldn't think that way at all. Yes?
Very frightened to even completely trust the Master. And I need help with that. How can I completely trust that the Master is the truth?
Well, sister, when we don't trust ourselves, how can we trust anybody else? When you start trusting your own self, you will also be able to trust someone in life. The pity is that we don't trust ourselves at all. We don't know where we stand ourselves. We are always having ups and downs in our own way of thinking. We are not clear what we are thinking. So we should attend to our meditation. The conviction comes from within. It doesn't come from outside at all. The real conviction comes from within. No argument is required. No logic is required. It just comes from within. We must learn to trust our own self. Then automatically we'll start trusting others. Yes? Well, Mr. Mauli, what is Lord's will? What is your concept of Lord's will?
It's basically so how could I turn it and turn my back?
You see, Lord's will doesn't mean that Lord has ordained or written him to go through this destiny. These are our own karmas, which has become our destiny now. And to go through our destiny, we call it Lord's will. Lord has not indiscriminately written what we have to go through. Our own karmas we have to face in this birth, in this lifespan. That is Lord's will. So we can only help them to go through them cheerfully, whatever way we can do. We cannot change their course of events of life. We cannot change their karmas at all. We can help them, we can give them moral strength to go through those karmas cheerfully without losing our balance. But we have no power to change their karmas at all. So nobody can interfere in Lord's will. Even if we try to, we cannot. We are helpless. Before anybody's destiny, we are just helpless. Because destiny of a person is not individual. It has connected with so many others. And if you change one person's destiny, the whole chain of events will have to be changed. A one mental patient is just not, he is only the one who is going through the destiny. Even that whole hospital, the ward, the doctor, the nurses, the medicine, the manufacturers, her admirers bringing flowers. So many people are affected by the destiny of that one lady. And nobody has the power to change the destiny of that person. She has to go through. We can give a moral strength, moral courage to go through that destiny cheerfully. We make it pleasant for the person to go through it cheerfully. But even if we want to, we can't change the destiny. So there's no harm in helping anybody at all. We should do our best to help others. But then there's a limit to what extent we can help. But we should be absolutely, and you see, from our heart we want to help. That should be our attitude. Well, sister, mostly. You see, we have to pass through so many ups and downs of our life. And these ups and downs of our life are just due to our past karmas. And we cannot change the course of events of life. For example, you know, this cycle of weather, it changes. Sometimes it is cold, sometimes it is warm. And you cannot change this cycle of warm and cold weather at all. you can adjust to the weather, then you'll be happy. If you refuse to adjust to the weather, when it is summer, if you refuse to adjust, you must put the warm clothes or put the heater, you will be one to suffer. So you have to adjust accordingly. You have to have light clothes and air conditioning and cooling effect and all that, you see. The summer will pass off, you see, very peacefully. Same way when the cold comes. If you refuse to put the winter clothes and keep your room warm, you are the one to suffer. Winter will come, summer will come, you cannot change. So happiness lies in adjusting to the events of life. You cannot swim across the waves, you have to go along with the waves. So happiness lies in going along with the waves, not swimming across the waves. So we have to go on adjusting to the events of our life. Happiness lies in that. Otherwise, we are the one who will be miserable. But still, we will not be able to change the events of our life, the course of our life. We have to go through that destiny. Meditation just gives us a strength to keep our balance, to go through the destiny happily, smilingly, without losing much of our balance. Yes? Waiting down from? Waiting down.
When the mind starts weighing down the soul.
Weighing down?
Weighing down.
The soul.
Holding the soul down.
I say when it goes to Tirkuti, second stage, when mind goes its own stage, own source, then the soul automatically gets released from the mind. Then all those karmas become ineffective, which were holding our souls. This knot is unopened, you see, is opened at the time of when the mind reaches Tirkuti, second stage. That is going beyond the realm of mind and Maya. Yes. Yes, yes. Pardon? Instant karmas, this is all karma. It is my destiny to be here and your destiny to be bold. It's all karmas. Neither you are independent of them, neither I am independent of them. In spite of my best intention to run away from the situation, I am here. Yes.
Maharaji, it seems clear that the lover needs the beloved. Does the beloved have any need of a lover?
Mother?
The beloved. The lover needs the beloved.
Yes.
Does the beloved have any need of the lover?
Who gives the love to the beloved? To the lover. It is the beloved.
Yes.
It is the beloved which gives the love to the lover. The lover thinks he loves the beloved. The pull in the lover's heart comes from the beloved always. And it gives a feeling to the lover that he is in love with the beloved. Actually, it is the beloved which has given that pull in the lover's heart. Without that need, why should a beloved give that pull in the lover's heart? Why should it create the seed of the love in the lover's heart? Beloved must be needing that love.
Who is the lover?
Who loves?
Thank you, Master.
Maharaji, my granddaughter is 8 years old, and she seems a little, or even more than a little, interested in Sant Mat, but her parents do not know anything about it. What is my position as a grandmother to help her? Should I explain Sant Mat, or just what?
Well, sister, do your duty as a grandmother to bring up that child with love and understanding, and give her general teachings of love.
Wow. More general than specific words?
I think for a child it is always better to be more general.
She...
Rather than to condition too much a child's mind. A child is torn when he has to face the world.
She already has written a letter to you because she has read a lot of the children's pages in the Path of Love. And now she's eagerly waiting for a reply, so I'm... wondering.
Well, the atmosphere is there, but the child must grow to make its own decision. Our sanskaras are always of childhood are there.
Thank you.
In our bringing up. They help us. But then we have to take our own decision when we grow. Yes?
Master, I would like to try to build a better atmosphere for meditation. And I'm wondering if being married and living a householder's life is more conducive for meditation than being single.
Well, this decision must come from you. In Santmat, both are accepted. Householder life is also very helpful. If one can really remain single, you understand what I mean, then it's perfectly all right, there's no harm in it. But if by remaining single we run after many hundreds, then householder life is much better. A lot of our natural instincts are being satisfied. There are not much suppressions around that.
What about being married to a satsangi or non-satsangi?
It depends upon the individual. I have seen, unfortunately, many satsangi couples separating. How can I say satsangi couples are ideal ones? Because even they go to courts for divorce, they also separate, they also quarrel. So I can't... I wish I can say, but I just can't. The satsangi couples are better than the others. It's a question of understanding with each other.
Thank you.
Yes?
Maharaji, can you please tell me, I would like to know, if I would like to write a book.
You have a mic? Then please speak a little louder.
I would like to ask if I would like to write a book about what happened to me. Is it all right to explain the dreams that I had, or I should not?
Well, sister, it depends upon you. How you express your dream and what you want to write about your dream and where ultimately dream is leading you to. It depends upon the reference in which you see you are writing. I can't say just offhand anything at all.
I was told that I should not discuss anything what I see within myself.
No, what we mean to say that we should not express our spiritual experiences.
Well, how about the spiritual experiences prior to initiation?
Well, you can write anything you feel like. That is entirely for the author, how he puts things. And one can't give any opinion without reading any manuscript.
Thank you, Master.